And welcome back to Coast, another hour to go for you of open lines here. By the way, I hope you have fun this Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday. Here we go again. I'll be working that night. We've got a show that Sunday night, but I may be able to get a little bit of the game in the office, but we shall see. I like to watch the commercials anyways. They're all pretty good. We're going to come back and take another hour of your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back. Final hour here of Open Lines tonight. Connie Willis will be on Saturday night for you again. And as I mentioned, I'll be on Sunday. And we will still take your texts and tweets this hour. A couple of those each segment. And then let us go. Let's go to Annie in Alabama. Annie, what's on your mind?
George, I had a very strange dream about being on board an amphibious nuclear-powered vehicle that could crawl up onto the land, operate in the most careless manner. But first, I'd like to ask you, I'd like to have Peter Davenport on a whole lot more. I love to hear him.
He's a good guy.
I'd like for someone to raise some money for him on Rocket Hub, because Rocket Hub doesn't make you reach your goal if you
don't make it. Yeah.
You get to keep the money anyway. But on this vehicle, it was being operated in the most careless manner. We were upon the ocean, and the captain didn't want to touch any of the stuff. The radiation was everywhere. Nobody had any gloves, no protective suits, and the rods or the fuel was real small, and it was in a tub, and he had two girls just to dump it out of the little tub, out the window, overboard. And the radiation was everywhere, and I wanted to get off of that thing. And then we went onto the land, and we drove straight through somebody's building, and I wanted off of that thing.
You have wild dreams, Annie.
That's a strange dream.
Yeah?
I usually have dreams that strange. That's one of the strangest dreams I've ever had.
What do you think it means?
I think it means that there's people out there that will operate nuclear-powered things in a reckless manner without taking any precautions.
Yeah, that's a good point. That could happen. By the way, when you had mentioned the fund campaign, we're helping out Stephen Bassett and the Paradigm Research Group for UFO disclosure. He really wants to make a major push in Washington, D.C. So he's got a GoFundMe page. We've got the link up at coasttocoastam.com. As a matter of fact, we could reach the goal if everybody gave him a dollar. Simple as that. We could go way over that goal. But it's linked up at coasttocoastam.com. In the highlight reel that you'll see, it changes. There's four little buttons. He's the last button there. You can hit that. You'll get to it quicker that way. But it's GoFundMe.com/endthetruthembargo. He has for years did everything out of his own pocket. And he needs some help on this one. And so we're going to try to give him a little assistance and reach his goal. But, yeah, if you can do it, that would be great. Let's go back to Mike, Livermore, California, whose Oakland Raiders are moving to Las Vegas. What a great move, huh?
Well, the latest word is they're not going to Las Vegas.
What? What happened?
Oh, I don't know. I don't pay attention to that.
Maybe they'll move to St. Louis.
Yeah, I don't care where they're at. They're still my Raiders.
I got to tell you, St. Louis supported the St. Louis Rams. Those stadiums were always packed. The television ratings were much higher than they are now in Los Angeles. And that city supported that football team. They should have stayed.
Well, you know, I think, George, when it comes to that, it's all about building new stadiums.
That's all it comes to. That's absolutely right. They were talking about building a new one in St. Louis, which would have increased revenue for Stan Kroenke, who is the owner of the team, and of course he's with the Walmart family. He owns many of the buildings that Walmart is in, and so he's quite well off all by himself there. But you're right, and he's going to build a new facility in the Los Angeles area. I'm sure he'll get some assistance in terms of tax breaks.
And, you know, it's funny. My season tickets are $60 a game. They just went to $95.
Yeah, I was going to say that was cheap.
And well, but, they're not but, giving me a new stadium, but I got to pay $95 a game now?
But are you saying the move to Vegas is off or might be off?
Well, I really haven't been paying attention to it, but they were saying it's something came up, there's some glitch, and it's kind of off.
That's interesting. So, All right, but that's not
really
why you're calling.
I may not be in the area in a year from now. Who cares?
Where are you going to go?
I'm hoping South Dakota. I got a lot of relatives.
Well, that's nice there. That's nice. Well, anyways, what's on your mind? You didn't want to talk about football.
No, I didn't. You know, George, over the years, how many years I've been listening to you?
Long time. Since the beginning, 14 years.
And there's one question that you seem to ask a lot of your guests, and you did tonight with this guest. And, oh, he was a great guest. I love Russ.
Yeah, he was. Good guy.
And that was, how do we stop this? And you know what? It's not about stopping it. If it's God's will, accept it. And even if, I mean, that's the end of the world.
You're talking about demonic possession and Satanism? I don't think God can stop that.
Well, no, I think he can.
that would be a show all by itself. The great debate over how much power God has.
Well, God has the ultimate power. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. He wrote the book. Satan is just one of his angels who's fallen. So, but the point is, through prophecy and everything else, it all leads to the end game of Jesus coming back, throwing Satan to hell, and it's over. So if that's God's will, who are we to stop that?
Yeah, but look at the evil, Mike. Look at the evil on this planet today. Why doesn't he just eradicate all that?
Because it's not a plan. It's not about eradicating the evil. It's about accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because it's not this earth that matters. It's what comes after.
Well, that's true, too. That's true, too, Michael. It's all set up for that. Let's take another call, then we'll get some texts and tweets from Tommy. Let us go to Walter in Graham, Washington. Hi, Walter. Thanks for calling.
Hi, George. Yeah, you know, I talked to Malachi Martin once, and it was about 20 years ago when Art Bell was still the host.
Uh-huh.
And I said to him, I said, you know, I think the Virgin Mary's been appearing to me, and I was really into Fatima then, or I still am. I was in the Fatima Society, and I says, do you think it's possible she's trying to tell me to get involved with another Fatima or something like that's going to happen? And he said to me, it shocked me, he said, "What? Why would the Virgin Mary appear to somebody as low as you?" He said, it shocked the heck out of me. I said, well, those were just peasant children that she appeared to. She always appears to peasant people.
Sure.
And I don't know how long after that, but he died. But that got me because people like that should be promoting the normal, the average person contacting God, because that's always been the way it's happened. And that takes the classism out of it. You know, if you're a low, they think you're a low life or something. But anyway, one other thing is I've always wanted to say is, you know, if Jesus would have been allowed to stay alive, what would he have done? His angels appeared to his mother. Angels appeared to him. He would have, it seemed to me, and he was performing miracles. The last miracle was a little bit too much. They killed him about that one when he raised Lazarus from the dead.
Yeah.
But he would, it seemed to me, the first thing he would have done, if they would have let him keep going, is he would have did something like Fatima. I mean, gather a group of people and have the sun move in front of everybody. I mean, he would have been able to save the world. If just one angel would appear, a powerful angel, he could have stopped slavery, could have all over the, you know, So, but no one ever thinks about what would have happened. I mean, he was just a miracle worker, and he would have had angels, I think, coming down here.
What do you think, in that discussion about the sun coming down, what do you think if it was truly a big UFO in front of the sun, and it came down and looked like the sun?
Well, it could have been a UFO, but the whole premise of Jesus is doing something that is not capable of being done. A miracle is something that is not natural. In other words, in normalcy, if the sun moved like that out of its axis in front of it, in a normal day, the earth would fall apart, you would think. But the whole thing about a miracle is a mystery, is that that's the kind of power that supposedly Jesus has or the Holy Spirits have. And so... I believe that's the next level you go into. You guys were talking about synchronicity the other night. That one really got me. That was good. And that guy is showing miracle after miracle of things happening in succession. But I think you guys should take it a step further and go into where infallibility and then into real miracles. That, because if you think about how powerful our mind is, that showing of synchronicity the way that guy was talking is just about a flat out miracle in front of you. And then if you go a step further and say a computer or a brain of mine, go into metaphysicalness, go into that infallibility, go into the things that are of Jesus and God like that, and I think we can do it.
Well, you may be right about that. Text or tweets, Tom, what do you have?
Our listeners are so smart.
They are. I'm telling you, they're PhDs
of
any radio show I've ever heard.
It's amazing. Amazing. This is a text from Trina in D.C. Hey, George, what do you think greets us in the afterlife when we pass on?
The devil.
No, you don't.
No. I think your loved ones are there. The spirits of your loved ones are in the afterlife. And I will see my father and my sister and those things. I think you'll see your parents and your brother.
Think like the first ones, though? Like, who greets us?
Yeah, I think they're the first ones. They're the first ones
cool.
in line.
Thanks to St. Peter.
Your mother will say, Tom, you haven't changed your clothes.
And then we have a tweet from our friend Carrie Ann. What's your worst habit?
My worst habit... I would call it a compulsion. I like things in order. I like things to work. I like things that are functional. I can't stand burned out light bulbs. I go absolutely crazy, bonkers. When I'm driving, and LA's notorious for this, businesses like might have, let's say it's like Joe's Market. And it's J and the O is out.
All over
and
the
E,
place.
I go nuts. I want to go see Joe the next day and say, Joe, you need to fix that sign. you need to do that. There's a guy who owns a watch place not too far from here. His name is Burge. And the name of his store, I won't say, but half of the light was out at night. And I would guess it's the responsibility of the owner of the building to fix these things.
Sure.
And... sure enough, one day it was fixed, but somebody must have talked to Burge about that.
But you don't call that a habit?
No, I don't know, a compulsion, I guess.
It's the same thing.
Yeah. How about you?
Patience.
Impatience.
No, patience is, well, not having patience,
not having
is
patience
a bad is, habit.
Yeah. It's a bad habit of yours.
Yeah.
Do you road rage?
No.
No, that's not good.
Think of how... dumb they are sometimes, but it's not rage.
There's a lot of bad drivers out there. See, it's the bad drivers that create the road rage to the person. That person's not having a great day and somebody cuts in front of him or something like that.
Do you know about road rage?
Yeah, I've witnessed it. I've got a buddy in St. Louis who's notorious for this. And then I have a little friend. She's been a friend of the family for years. She's 80 years old. 80 years old, and she road rages. She chases people and gives flips of the bird at 80 funny. Years old. Can you? And she's about 4'11". Unbelievable.
It's like that recording.
Let's go to Virginia in Middleburg, Florida. Welcome to the show. Hi, Virginia. Welcome. You're up on the air.
I just heard on the news between segments of your show
that Napolitano wants to replace American workers with Indians in order to save money. Now, of course, they get paid less than American workers would. I just wanted to know if they're going to be able to get away with that.
Now, do they want to do that here or in India?
They want to do that here in this country. And another one was this judge, James Robard, is trying to stop illegal immigrants from being sent back by saying Trump has not thought this through. Well, obviously, he must have thought it through a little bit before he got elected because he told people what he was going to do. And I just...
How do you like how things have been going, Virginia?
It's very depressing. I'm 85 years old, and it's I've seen a little bit so far. And it just seems that a lot of these liberals are not so much concerned about... you know, doing one thing, but except getting rid of ruining our country.
So you supported Donald Trump in terms of the presidency?
Yes, because I didn't go along with the others.
Protests are out of control right now, aren't they?
Yes, I think so. I just I don't ever remember things being this violent all over. They had a Chuck E. Cheese commercial thing about Chuck E. Cheese. Where children go to celebrate their little birthday.
Oh, yeah. I used to bring my kids to those places.
They're selling alcohol beverages to the parents while they're waiting.
Yeah.
And
trying to increase sales.
Are in fist fights all over the place. I took my grandchildren, great-grandchildren there before, and it was calm, cool, and collected. It gave me a headache by the time I left, but it was peaceful. And now it just seems that everything is going bonkers.
What kind of grade would you give Trump right now?
Well, so far he's doing what he promised. Now, whether he can accomplish it because of these people or not, it'll be something else.
Do you think we need a wall?
Yeah, I think we need something. I mean, I don't want to just have them streaming across our borders.
Well, you know, for the money they're going to spend, they could hire a zillion border guards and just line them up around the border.
Yeah, well, they could intersperse them with some things to make it a little difficult to swim across.
All right, well, good, thanks. 80 years old, it's good to know that you're part of our country keeping things going. I'm impressed with that. We're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM with final open line calls. Hey, next weekend, I'll be at the Conscious Life Expo here in Los Angeles. Full information at coasttocoastam.com. You'll be able to see it on the highlight reel. And our television network, Gaia, will be there as well with a full group of people if you want to talk to them. And their website, of course, is Gaia.com, G-A-I-A.com. Great people, and they're doing some marvelous TV programs. Okay, welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, our final segment here. And we will go right to the phones. Many folks have been on for a long time waiting. Fort Dodge, Iowa, we go. Steve's with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Steve, good morning. Thanks for holding so long.
Sure. Last week, George, I believe you had a gentleman named Mark on who was an expert on the Star Trek and the Twilight Zone.
Yes, Mark Zickrey.
Wasn't able to get on time to talk to him, but... And then about 3 weeks earlier, you had those two ladies from Ohio.
The sisters?
Yes.
The housewives.
Yes. And we were talking about the Ohio connection with Rod Serling to the episode Willoughby.
That's right. And they're from Willoughby, Ohio, I think.
Right, right. And I had called because I had... Back in my college days, I'd done some research on Rod Serling, and we know that he went to school in Antioch College in Ohio, which is near Cincinnati. But I had also found through a magazine article that he was actually in the Cleveland area that summer at a college lecturing, which is within an hour of Willoughby, right before the Twilight Zone first aired in 1959. And I was wondering, because Mark was so expertise on this, do you think he might have been able to shed some light on that question we had about Willoughby?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's an expert about that. He sure is. That the next time he's on, we'll try to broach that to him.
Well, and you had brought up earlier about all this distress in the world and the country right now. You know, it's ironic. Rod Serling's Twilight Zone episodes addressed many of the distress
situations. Yep, they sure are. He would kind of weave his social thoughts into those programs.
And, you know, he wasn't really radical at it. He was just presenting it and trying to make us think about it and look at it, you know, in a realistic way, you know, where we are. He also educated people from the 1960s into times in the 1940s and 30s in the past. And you notice today that the younger people seem to have, you know, you get their history knowledge seems to stop at 1990, and they don't really look at history. It's almost as if it never existed, you know, when they try to put things together now. I think if we could use a Rod Serling today, you know, in Hollywood, that could put some of these things in perspective, and maybe we could have some honest conversations, because I think Hollywood has really gone away from that now.
Yep.
They really don't look at things down the middle. They look at them as black and white.
That's right. You're very perceptive. Hey, thank you. Appreciate that. Mike in Mission Viejo, California, first-time caller. Hi, Mike.
Hi, George. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you.
Okay. I just want to make this a statement that I'm not going to explain anything, but for the future, if your listeners want to kill any extraterrestrials, the way they should do it is having a pair of earplugs, a dust mask, and blowtorch. No bullets, no nothing else. Nothing else is going to work. And this is for those who are harboring those ETs here. They have shown them other planets, and they think they can go there. They cannot live there. No one, no other human except Earth and another planet has a shield on it can live. The rest of the planets in other galaxies, they're not going to work for humans. That's all.
Okay, good point. Good point. I always wondered, what would happen? Would you ever go to another planet, Tom?
Could I come back?
Yes.
Yes, if I can come back.
What if you came back 20 years later, Earth time?
No, I don't want to stay that long.
You wouldn't do that?
No.
Things would change.
No.
Loved ones would be gone.
Too much.
What do you got for us?
I got a tweet
final
from...
ones.
Say it again?
I said the final tweets.
Final ones. A tweet from Apollo. George Al here. What do you think of the theory that we live in a computer simulation?
Ooh, that's what Elon Musk thinks.
Yeah.
I hope the guy keeps his computer on. That's all I can say.
Reboot.
Don't shut it off.
Oh, my gosh. How about a text from Olivia in Boca Raton? How does a person go about picking items to supplement with?
Well, I think you've got to start at the basics. And, you know, I this is not a cop-out, but go to criticalhealthnews.com mm-hmm. and start going through that. But you need a basic understanding of minerals and vitamins, and then you go from there. And then you start looking at certain areas you want to perfect, and you attack them with the right supplements, too. Thomas, as you well know, why don't you describe...
Did you just call me?
Thomas.
Don't.
That's your name.
That's
your name. It's on your driver's license.
No, it's not, actually.
Well, it should be. Describe the back of my desk credenza and what's on it in my office.
How do you
talking about supplements.
Supplements?
Yeah.
Like 1 million bottles
of things.
Of supplements?
Yeah. Each one is for something else.
Right.
I mean, it's that's why I've been doing that for a long time. I wish, I won't get into that, but I wish I had known then what I know now.
What about going to a doctor and getting a blood test to find out what you're...
Oh, that's important.
What you're
I do that every year, and then I attack whatever, if there's a problem or if something's out of kilter or the numbers don't look right, I go right after them.
I got to tell you something real quick. I was really amazed. About a month ago, 2 months ago, I had a blood test, and he told me I was short in vitamin D.
Yep.
I started taking it. Really did make a difference.
It's a big difference. Yeah. And what's going to be interesting is when you go back for the next blood test mm-hmm. to see what that level is.
Yeah.
To see how that. And remember what I told you, though, about that, because you've learned a lot about supplements through me. You need the sun to really make that vitamin D work mm-hmm. and kick in. So, you know, just on a sunny day. It's been rainy in Los Angeles, though, almost since I've come back.
We need it.
Yeah, you did. But when it's sunny, just sit outside for about 20 minutes.
All
just chill, you know, and do that. Okay, let's take some final calls here. Let's go to Corey in Bend, Oregon. Welcome to the show. Hello, Corey.
Hey, George. How you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Well, long-time listener, first-time caller. My birthday's tonight, actually.
Well, happy birthday. Turn on Tommy's mic, too. Everybody will wish him happy birthday here. Happy birthday to Corey.
Happy birthday, Corey.
Tommy, do you want to lead in the singing? Go ahead. You don't? You want to lead in the singing? You won't do that. All right.
Darn. That's okay. Well, actually, I have a story for you. My grandpa, he died a couple years ago, but he got my dad hooked on Coast to Coast. And then my dad got me hooked on the Coast to Coast.
Perfect.
And, yeah, and I, you know, I've been listening to my whole entire life. Well, when my grandpa passed, he was a germaphobe, and he was also a tinker. and the night that he passed, in the hotel room, all the hand sanitizer machines ran out.
Oh.
Went. And then the clock, it was a, you know, a normal analog clock. It was just going berserk. It was just going off and going around and around, and oh, it was so crazy. And I remember the thing that, you know, got me going was, you know, well, at least, you know, he knows all the answers, you know, that he thought about from Coast to Coast.
That is great. How old are you now, Corey?
I'm 19.
19. So when you have kids, you can have them listen to the show.
Exactly, yeah.
You'll do it. Well, good for you. 19 years old, I'm proud of you. And, you know, we need more like you to lead this country into the next step we're going to go to. That's for sure. Appreciate it. That is so cool. You know, if you ever really look, you look at protesters and you think this country is falling apart. It's collapsing. And then you hear people like Corey, who is 19 years old. We're going to win this in the long run. I mean, sensibility will win out over madness, believe me. And that's all I'm going to say about that, as Forrest Gump would say. Let's go to Melissa in Georgetown, New York. Melissa, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, you play great music, and George, you're such a gentleman. You know, they keep asking the question on the radio. What do you miss about the, you know, the old America that's not around? It's that men were, you are such a classic, like, 50s, 60s kind of guy. And you're a gentleman. That's the difference.
Well, I was raised right.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, listen, I know you used to have horses, thoroughbreds.
Yes. No, the harness, right. Harness horses.
Yeah. What'd you say?
Harness horses. They were were the ones where the sulky, the driver was in the sulky.
I was near Vernon Downs.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But I used to buy thoroughbreds off the track and train them to be jumpers and hunters and stuff.
Good for you.
But listen, I have so many things I want to tell you, but
I've only got a minute, too, so go for it.
I know. I was thinking, when I was a little kid, I lived out in the country, and I was by myself a lot, and I always was thinking about what you said about, you know, what came before, like, what came before I was born, you know? But I felt like I'd always been here, and that I'll always be here, like, eternal. You know, like everything's eternal. And somebody told me one time, they said, well, men generally think in a linear fashion where something starts and then ends. But the feminine way of looking at it is a cyclical, circular kind of thing that just goes on endlessly. And it's always been here. And it'll always, like God, it will always be here.
It sure is. Always was, always will be.
Yes, exactly.
That's what mom used to tell me that.
Yeah? Hey, and a few years ago, I called, we were talking about honeybees and the nicotine, you know, the neonics that were killing us.
Yeah.
And I called, and I suggested to you, I don't know if you remember, that you start a dating service. And you said, no, I don't think I can do that.
And now we did.
And now you did.
Are you on it?
I live off the grid. My technology is limited to a radio, a 1940s rotary phone, and my headlamp.
Well, if you ever get that technology, you'll meet some people who would really get you at ParanormalDate.com.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden, and I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware, but now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid, but as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be, whichever world you're living in, whatever century, your voice is always welcome here on my radio. Call in with your space transmitter or your telephone. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Coast to Coast.
Well, enjoy your Super Bowl festivities. Connie Willis on Saturday, and I'll be on Sunday. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Lottasaur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.